The Bible is funny.
Well, hello everybody and welcome back to another episode of The Bible is Funny podcast. My name is Anthony Russo. Here on The Bible is Funny podcast, we talk about the funniest parts of the Bible and what we can learn from them. And it's a very fun time here at The Bible is Funny LLC, Incorporated, Collective Group. We don't have a real name. The Bible is Funny. It's fun time because I have a book coming out, if you haven't heard yet. It's a book. It's a devotional book, and it is called Curiosities and Uncommon Sense from the Bible. Very excited. Worked really hard on this book. I can't wait for everybody to read it. And I thought, as a little run here with the podcast, that we would bring on some people that were like connected with the book. And talk through some of that. And I'll talk about that a little bit more here in a second. But the guest I have with me today, I have a guest with me. I'm very excited to be joined by this guest today because she is the number one fan of the Bible is Funny podcast. The absolute, there's no fan more fannier than this fan right here. And that's because she's my mom. Welcome on the podcast, Mom.
Hi, honey.
This is what a podcast looks like. You listen to podcasts.
Exactly what I pictured in my head.
This is really what it, yeah, you thought it would look like?
Except for the microphone's a little fancier.
Oh, you didn't know your son had made it.
Right.
As we sit here on the end of my kitchen table and we're quiet as the kids go to sleep. It's all very professional and we've made it here on The Bible is Funny. You listen to my podcasts. You're a regular listener to all my podcasts.
Yes, every single one.
You let me know. You give me feedback. You're one of the few people I get notes from every time. And actually, I didn't plan to go here, but while we're on this subject, we started a segment on the Bible is Funny podcast where we review Christian movies with Tim Wyckoff. Yes. You may have heard of him if you're a fan of the podcast.
He cracked me up on the last one.
You do love Tim on that. So much so that every time we do that particular segment, you're like, Tim was so funny on the Christian movie.
He really is funny on that.
I know he is, but I feel like there are times where I'm funny on it too. But
and
whenever,
I'm going to say this on air. I think he should do How to Save a Life.
I'm immediately having second thoughts about bringing you on the podcast because you're already making demands. You were all, I don't know, I'm nervous to go on the podcast. 10 seconds later, get me on the air because I've got things to say. No, you're just always commenting how funny Tim is on the Christian movie reviews. And I'm like, I'm there too, Mom. I'm in there.
I know, but it's funny how he bashes you.
This isn't getting better. I was hoping that this would get better. I'm fishing. I'm obviously fishing. And it's not getting me where I want to go.
He cracks you up all the time.
He does. He's a funny guy.
Yeah.
We're big fans of Tim Wyckoff here on the podcast. But it's you here. You're my mom. I love you.
Thank
you. I'm so glad you agreed to come on the podcast and talk about some things.
Well, thank you for having me, Anthony. I feel like that's what all your guests say.
Using the full name. Using my full name. Okay. My mom is wonderful for so many reasons. The way that you may have heard of her, if you have heard of her prior to this podcast, is that she is a city league tennis champion. Did I say that right?
Well, I made it to the city finals. That's all.
That's all. That's all. I'm the second best tennis player in this whole city. That's what I take away from that. Was it singles or doubles that you made the finals on?
It was doubles. And there's like levels. Like
we don't need to talk about that.
You're making more of it than really need be.
This is all I need to know, right? When I see a bumper sticker that says my kid's an honor student, I don't go into like, well, what's the parameters for honor student? I just need to know that my mom's a city league finalist.
You're embarrassing.
Seems like a big deal to me. Sue Brewer. Sue Brewer, if you Google it, it'll come up, I'm sure. City League, City Greats.
It might not.
In the tennis league. Sue Brewer is a better Google name than Anthony Russo because there's a movie director out there named Anthony Russo. That I'm, you never heard of?
No.
Him, he does the Captain America.
No, but funny story, once when you were little, there were three Anthony Russos on the news. One was Lost at Sea.
Okay.
One was, they were trying to find him, the police. He did something terribly wrong.
Okay.
And then, I don't remember the third one, but it was like more of a, they were honoring him.
Okay.
For something.
Two of them they were looking for.
And one.
For different reasons. One was kind of lost. And then the other was being honored. That's great. I don't love that. Well, I thought you'd be a great guest for the podcast. We've actually been talking about having you on the podcast for a while, mm-hmm. to be fair.
True.
And now we thought this was good with the book because I was skimming through the book today just in prepping for this. And I write about you in the book a lot, I would say, other than Rachel, who's joining us here at the table. Say hey to everybody, Rachel.
Hey, everybody.
She is written about the most, I would say. Other than me. Let's say the whole book I write about myself an awful lot. Then it's Rachel. She gets a lot of screen time. And then it's you. You're probably the next person. I think I have like four or five devotions around like our stories.
That's funny. I only had to approve one.
That is true. No lies there. The other ones will be fun surprises. So I wrote some stories about us, though, and I thought, I wrote to the world from my perspective, right? Like, I lived this story out, I remember it a certain way, and I told everybody, all of the listeners who've already pre-ordered the book at their local bookstore or online.
Thank you for that.
I've already told all them, they've all pre-ordered, and they're going to hear the story. They're going to hear my perspective from the story, and I thought we'd have you on the podcast, and you could tell your perspective of the story. Does that seem fair? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're going to do. I'm going to work through. The first story is, I'll tell it briefly, more detail in the book when you pre-order and buy it. We were driving to my friend Dino's house. Do you remember my friend Dino?
I do.
I've only had one friend named Dino.
I remember this whole thing.
Okay. We were driving to my friend Dino's house. I remember it being earlier in the day, potentially, and we're driving there, and you were asking me some questions. My mom's a big talker, for those of you that are just meeting her now for the first time. And I was not responding enough, I guess, was what I remember.
Or
I wasn't
at all.
Giving you anything back. I don't know what was going on. And you, like, blatantly, straight out to my face, like, asked me if I was on drugs. And it was a very accusatory explained, if you're not on drugs, explain yourself kind of situation. Do you remember this story?
Yes, I do. And okay. I thought that for a fact because you were like, I don't know, you were out of it. You weren't you. And I'd ask you questions. And it was just nothing. And I'm like, what is wrong with you? And then I said, are you on drugs? That's the way I remember.
The way you just said that is not how you said, are you on drugs?
Oh, right.
You yelled, are you on drugs?
Well, you were like sleeping or something.
Because this is how people act when they're on drugs. That was your next line.
Well, it's true.
At this point in my life,
acting.
For the listeners, I had never seen a drug. I don't think I could have correctly identified any drugs.
Oh.
I think I'm 12.
I see your halo.
13 years old. Christian school my whole life.
All I have is the experience that I have.
I was surprised I was not driven to take a pee test at that moment to prove that I was clean. Were you almost there?
No, you felt like you were close to that? Out of it.
So that's the one story you get to hear more of my perspective of in the book, driving to Dino's. Shouts out to Dino Mitsides, wherever you are. One of my first best friends, actually, Dino.
Has a restaurant now.
Has a restaurant. Good segue into our next story, which took place at a restaurant.
Oh.
I was a young man. I was, as I remember the story, it was my birthday. Hmm. And I'm not ready to like die on that hill, but as I remember the story, it was my birthday. And I was, I think it was the restaurant you were working at the time. And if I remember that correctly, it was Greek Hospitality.
Correct.
My friend Dino, also Greek. Full
wow.
circle. That has nothing to do with any of these stories. But We're at Greek Hospitality. I believe it's my birthday, and I want to order a shepherd's pie. Do you remember this story?
I do.
And I was like, I would really like to order this pie. And you were like, well, that's not the kind of pie that you think it is. It's going to be like a different kind of pie.
And how old do you think you were?
That feels to me like 10.
Mm-hmm.
Does that seem right?
Yeah.
And
you were eating nothing.
I was a really picky eater.
Yes.
I'm getting that back. You know how much I'm getting that back with my own kids.
I didn't pray for that. God just gave it to you.
The fact that you had to just say that so quickly makes me suspicious. Oh, man. I should have talked about this more. I was like such a picky eater. In my family, to this day, there's a joke about an Anthony bite, which was like when I was forced to try something, and I would just take the most laughable tiny bite of it.
He would take a half of a piece of rice.
I don't know if that's even possible.
That's the size of the bite he would take.
And then I would like assess the taste and say, earthy tones.
No.
I love how this dish is.
No.
Not together.
But hey, let's get shepherd's pie.
I got shepherd's
where
pie.
Where everything mushes together. You're not going to have issues with that.
Do you remember, like, so the dish gets there and, like, I don't want it. Well, how does that? This is a part where
your face right then.
Right,
like, I knew you were going to touch it. I knew you were going to touch it when you ordered it.
And you think about these stories as you're older and, like, we didn't have a lot of money growing up. We're out to eat and I'm blowing $15 on a shepherd's pie I am not going to touch. And you know this, but you still let me order it.
You're welcome.
This is a birthday. It's a birthday present.
I didn't order you a second dinner.
No. No, that's true. The other food-related story I remember, I'll tell briefly, is not in the devotional. This is a bonus bit. We were at a Cracker Barrel, and I would order... Another thing about me when I was little is I would notoriously order very expensive things.
Oh.
This was like later in our time together. I'm getting a little bit older at this point. Probably should know better. I remember asking at several restaurants the market price of things. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Oh, the salmon is market price. Well, could be cheap. Let's ask. And these poor waiters and waitresses have to go back and ask, what is the market price of the salmon?
I mean, I do believe we wised up a bit. And I would say, Anthony, what are you planning on ordering?
So this one particular time, I've been doing this for a long time, I order an obnoxiously sized Cracker Barrel breakfast. Mm. Like, silly.
Oh, yes.
Most Cracker Barrel breakfasts are already too big. But I got the big belly buster, or whatever their name is for the Uncle Herschel special. And this was like the big one. You got everything in it. And then, little tidbit, I would cut it in a heinous way. I could hardly cut my food. So I remember massacring this stuff, like just hack, 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 hack until it's done. And I don't know what snapped that day, but I don't know if it was you and Dave both, or if it was primarily just you, but you were like, no, you are eating that whole thing. Cause I was like done after like a couple, I don't know, an egg and a piece of toast. And you guys were like, no, all the pancakes, everything in front of you, you're eating. Do you remember that story?
I do.
Do I have it about right in my head?
Well, it wasn't quite that bad. Like, you would kind of, in my opinion, you would, like, destroy the food.
Mm-hmm.
So even if someone else wanted to eat it, they couldn't eat it.
Right.
And then you wouldn't eat it.
Right. Which I not until you're a parent.
So we ordered water.
Thinking we're going to, right.
I will eat Anthony's when he doesn't, but then you ruined it, so we sat over there starving.
This is not true.
That is not true at all.
But I do appreciate now as a parent the how tough that is when you're like, no, you ruined, I ordered a little less because I didn't think you were going to eat all that. Man. Okay, well, we got another story to get to from the devotional as my apology tour continues. And this was a really defining story from my childhood.
Uh-oh.
This was a story where I forgot things at school all the time. I would forget things. I still forget things. Now Rachel's here at the table and she can attest. The things I lose are insane. I've lost sweatshirts that I go back and I'm like, how does one lose a sweatshirt as an adult? Like,
maybe that's the janitor stole it.
This is the segue. I'm a kid. I'm losing stuff all the time. I'm forgetting things all the time. And I'm sure I was told, like, you can't do this again. Here's your last chance. You got to stop doing this. And I leave my backpack and I come home and I concoct a story about how I did not forget my backpack at school. The janitor stole the backpack. Is that about right?
It was a lunchbox in my memory.
Okay. And I accused the janitor of stealing the lunchbox.
Mm-hmm.
And how quickly did you contact the authorities?
We just let you talk yourself right on out of it. I remember Dave sitting down going, okay, let me get this straight.
That's what I remember.
And he said the story you told to us back right. to you. And you finally went, no.
Yeah. I remember that process, and I remember this was the plan I had. I'm going to add a layer of detail every time Dave asked me to retell the story, because then it will seem like the story's real. Because I've added another, like, motivation, maybe, for the janitor or whatever. I remember really being in this chess match with Dave, and Dave's my stepdad, by the way, if I have not covered that before. And I didn't realize that, like, I had no pieces on the board of this chess match, but I thought I was really doing it.
Yeah. But you did realize you weren't. We never had to call anybody.
I confessed?
Yeah. Okay. That's the way I remember it.
And this is going to lead me to another story that I'm off notes on. Do you remember when I told my elementary class that my yes. aunt and uncle were missionaries in Papua New Guinea?
That's why you're a great writer. You've been telling stories forever. And then remember the baseball game? You were going to take the whole class. Somehow, us living in insisted single mother's housing, I was going to take your whole class to a baseball game in Chicago.
A basketball game.
Was that it?
Chicago. Yeah, we're going to go see Michael Jordan.
I'm like, what?
Play the match. They were big lies I was telling at this point.
They were big
lies. The missionary story cracks me up again, just having, like, looking back now. And you're a single mom. You're working so hard to keep me alive. And I was in this great Christian school, and you're doing all these wonderful things for me. And you get a call from my teacher that is the most honest, earnest call, right? Like, hey, Anthony told us that his aunt and uncle are missionaries in Papua New Guinea. Do you have any pictures that he could bring in to school to show everybody? And, like, what do you say to this poor woman?
I'm like, what? Anthony told you what? And I go, oh, yeah, that's not right. I don't remember, but that, like, all of your teachers were so sweet. Like, they just loved you.
Yeah.
Like, you could have told them anything, and you did.
And I did.
And they believed it.
That's so true, because I don't remember the rest of that year being held. I just, no. It was done when it was done.
Yeah.
Oh, that's too funny. And I'll say this, maybe still defending myself all these years later. I do have a lot of aunts and uncles.
You do.
So, you know.
Not one of them's a missionary.
It felt like a good place for lies. Because the basketball game was all through an uncle. I don't know if I ever told you this.
Oh, no.
My uncle worked for the NBA in that story. He worked for the NBA, so we had tickets.
Oh.
That lie I remember so vividly. There was a double-decker limo bus we were going to take to the game. It was a whole thing.
Wow.
So anyway, thanks for letting me share some of these stories in the devotional. But again, I only know my perspective of some of this stuff. So for some of you out there, maybe you don't know, maybe some of this story seems hard to follow about me and my mom here, me and you. So I want to give you like a little bit of a scope on this. And then I want to ask some questions because, again, I only know the stories from my perspective. So here's kind of the quick bulleted version of our story together, me and my mom, that I recall from my perspective. So I vaguely remember the process of you and my dad separating. I don't remember that like super vividly. I think I must have been really young when that was. You weren't together. Like I have like a really spotty memory of you getting married and then separating. This and that's all very blurry. I don't have a whole lot of solidness there. So you guys separate. Me and you take off on our own. We didn't have a whole lot of money, but at the time it was one of those childhoods that like I had no idea about that at that point. Like I always had shoes. I always had like I don't remember anything I like didn't have that was like, oh, this is something. This is like a basic need that I need, but I don't have. And we always did fun things. Like I remember going to high school games, and we always did fun things. But looking back now, I can see we didn't have a whole lot of money, and we moved around a lot for a period of time, just you and me. But again, none of it ever seemed like weird. Like I never felt like this is a strange thing. This was just like what we did. I remember my dad coming back in the scene at one point, and that obviously being really contentious for a while, and there's a lot of messy stories there with me and him that I talk about a lot in the devotional book. And then I have, I have a couple like memories specifically in that time together. I have memories of you and me playing basketball behind a Walmart. Is that accurate?
Kinda.
Is it not exactly right?
Well, I mean, the Walmart was over one block. It was at a church.
Oh, it was at a church?
On Martin Luther King Boulevard.
Oh. And it was just one hoop.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember playing basketball there. I loved basketball. I played basketball like my whole life. And I remember you beating me pretty consistently.
And telling me. Your mama
is beating you. And you were doing these VHS workout tapes with a step thing called Buns of Steel. And you would gloat. You would go, Buns of Steel, Buns of Steel, and back me down, and then beat me. And then I found out later, you didn't even ever play basketball. You were never like a basketball player.
And ever since you stopped playing, I don't watch it anymore.
I don't know how I was losing these games. I'm upset at my younger self. So anyway, this is kind of our journey. Again, just the major points that I recall. And then you met Dave, who's mm-hmm. my stepdad. And how old would I have been at there? I remember that wedding in the park. What was I then?
You were in fifth grade, so...
Okay.
10?
Yeah.
I mean, when we met Dave, though, you were 7.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. I didn't realize it was that long.
Yep.
So then... You guys get married, and we have our wonderful family we have now. Mm-hmm. Dave had kids from previous marriage, and we just turned into this incredible family that we have mm-hmm. now. And it's all, to me, like, rosy from there. With our, like, every family has, you know, moments. People going to the hospital and whatnot. But for the most part, the story has been wonderful. So I wanted to ask a couple of things about that, the part of the story with just me and you, though. Uh-huh. That are like, again, I'm experiencing it from my perspective. One thing I was never really clear on, and it's sort of a focal point in the story, is like, so you're with my dad. My dad had kids from a previous marriage, so they were around. You had kids from a previous marriage. So there's like stories. Really, I don't remember that, all of the five of us, but there's stories.
And like, pictures.
And pictures. Me getting my head stuck behind a couch.
Things like that happen.
Uh-huh. If you want to tell the people, how did I get my head stuck behind? What was the story?
Well, you just always wanted to go. Maybe your ball or your toy would end up behind the couch. And mm-hmm. so you try to go behind the couch to get it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would just go until your head would get stuck. It would get wedged between the wall and the couch. And you were too little to like push the couch out. So you would just yell, Ma, stuck. I mean, you weren't in any panic.
No.
You just would yell that until I came and unstuck you.
As cool, calm, and collective as I am today, I was back then.
Oh, yeah. And you headbutted a pitcher window and broke it right out.
I was going to ask about
that
story.
Not a scratch on you.
What was I angry? Was what was why was I headbutting a picture window?
I think you wanted something outside.
Straightest way to it.
I just loved you where you were.
We'll go right through. We'll just go right through. How about the story of me being covered in ants? Is that a true story?
Oh, yeah. That was not funny. But you didn't get bit.
Right.
I know. Well, it's kind of an embarrassing story.
Oh.
I mean, for you.
What happened?
You would be the naked monster. You would leave the house naked and run around, and you ran outside, and you had gotten into some pile of ants. At least this is the way I remember it. And then we had to come in, and we threw you in the tub and just started washing all the ants off of you, and you never got bit, not once.
I didn't realize I was naked in this story.
That's the way I remember it.
Wow. Okay. That was a little bit of a tangent.
Yeah.
This is what we're doing. There's a moment, though, in the story where, like, you leave my dad, or something happens there. And I was even talking to you a little before the podcast. I'm honestly not exactly sure of the timing or all these things. So could you just, what was that time like? What led up to it? Like, where were you like, we can't do this anymore. Like, we have to leave.
Well, I used to drink a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so did your dad.
Mm-hmm.
And then I stopped drinking, and your dad didn't. And so that was kind of the beginning of the end, because now I was seeing life through different eyes. And I came to know the Lord. So I came to know the Lord, and then the Lord led me to AA. And so that's where I got sober. And you were three at the time. And I was working with a man who went to church, and he was a commander of Awanas, Jerry Busby. Hey, Jerry.
Shouts out to Jerry Busby.
And he would keep inviting me to church.
Uh-huh.
And so we started going to church, and you were so sweet. You were 3 years old, and you were a little cubby, and you would go in, and I'd say, oh, honey, you got to pray that mom stays sober. And so you would go in and ask them to pray that I would stay silver. Like, you didn't know what sober was, and so you just said silver.
Oh, wow.
And they didn't know either. And so that was it. So then I was living with your dad for about a year after that. And
Can I jump in really quick?
Mm-hmm.
How do you... So the decision to stop drinking
mm-hmm.
came before your faith?
No.
You...
Wait,
so
let me think. I think... No. I came to know the Lord first.
Okay.
But I came to know the Lord, and I looked around that church, and I didn't look like any of those people.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, oh, no. I got to go clean myself up if I'm going to come back here.
Okay.
So then I left, and that's when the Lord led me to AA. And actually, it was your dad. Your dad was out on a bender all day. He came home, and he said, I need help. And I had just met a lady who was in AA.
Okay.
We won't shout out her name.
They were your joint. You shouldn't do that in AA.
So,
it's not because we don't love her. It's
right.
Because you don't do that in AA.
Yes. And so we can say Vicky.
Shouts out to Vicky.
Right.
Maybe that's her name. Maybe it's not.
Mm. And just like 2 weeks before that, 2 or 3 weeks before that, I had met her, and she told me she didn't drink, and she was in AA. So when your dad came home and wanted help, we went to an AA meeting with her. And I kept going to AA, and your dad didn't go back.
Wow.
So that's when I started getting sober. So then once I was sober for a while, I felt like I could go back to church. Mm. So then Jerry, I was still working with Jerry. So he's like, why don't you bring Anthony? He kept using you. Like, why don't you bring Anthony to Awana? And we miss him. Everyone misses him at Awana. And so then we started going
back
to church.
It's because I was fast. Because I was good at the Awana Olympics, I think, is really what they were after.
Yeah. And you were cute. You were cute as a button.
So they said you need to come bring him back. You're still with Dad at that point?
And so then I met a lady at the church I was going to, and she discipled me. Which you don't hear a lot about that anymore. I wish we did more of that. But she kind of taught me how to use the Bible, how to read it, how to study it.
Yeah.
She introduced me to, like, different Bible studies and different things like that. And so then I started studying the Word. Where were we?
So we're at that church, which I remember.
Oh, when did I leave your dad?
Yeah.
That's right. So then it was very difficult with your dad. I don't want to bash him or anything, but it was just difficult because he worked days and I worked nights, and we did that so that we didn't have to pay a babysitter.
Right.
But then he would work and then go out and drink and wouldn't pick you up. Or he would pick you up and then he would be drunk.
Right.
And then you would call me from work and ask me like things that...
Yeah.
I don't know how you called me. Maybe you were four. You might have been four. Because you knew how to get like a little something to eat. Because he wasn't there to take care of you. And then the straw that broke the camel's back was you were home by yourself. And I came home and your dad had passed out on the floor and I tripped over him coming in the door. And it was just, it's like something's got to give. That I just can't keep leaving this baby here.
Yeah.
And so the lady who was discipling me said, well, I'll help you and I'll find you a place to live. And so we went and lived at this, like, it's so funny that you just think everything was so good as we were growing up.
Yeah.
Because we lived in a house with a lady who had, she had her daughter living with her and she was in a car accident. So she was, what do you call it if they're like in a wheelchair and they can't?
Paraplegic.
Mm-hmm. And she loved you, but she didn't like me much. And so we rented a little bedroom and we had access to the kitchen.
The paraplegic woman didn't like you?
Right.
Okay.
But she liked you, so it was fine.
What's not to like?
But I couldn't go out when she was there. Or she would like make really weird, scary noises.
Yeah.
And I didn't want you to be scared of her.
Right.
And so I tried to just avoid her. And so it just got bad. And I said, we can't stay here anymore. And I was paying I know this is going to sound super cheap for this time, but this is like 25 years ago.
Yeah.
We were paying $300 to just rent a bedroom, basically. So then I started looking around and I found a garage that was converted into an apartment.
Uh-huh.
This is the years that we moved so much.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, this is so much better. We have our own space. We can talk.
Right.
Well, the kitchen was so small, like literally... And you're touching both walls. It only had one of those little refrigerators that you'd have in a hotel room.
Okay.
We didn't have a stove. We had two hot plates. And it was this tiny thing, but it had a loft. So your bedroom, you could sleep on top of the closet. And I slept in. You remember those chairs that kind of looked like a chair, but then it unrolled into a bed, so to speak? Well, that was my bed. But it was in a very nice neighborhood. So.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Location.
So we felt good about that.
Yeah,
but then we were living there. But then the lady, so we stayed in the one-car garage that was converted into an apartment. And the lady who owned the house had a three-bedroom house. And she made me pay half of the electric bill.
Oh, no.
And so the electric bill was, I couldn't afford it because you were going to Keswick and... And then I had to pay the rent, because I think the rent was still only $300, but then I had to pay this power bill, and I just didn't have the money.
Right.
So we used to drive around neighborhoods and look at garages and go like, now that'd be a nice garage.
Would you look at that?
Would you look at that? Three
go
doors.
Go into an open house? Excuse me. Point me to the garage?
But the good news is we moved into a carport. But they put walls up on it. So it was much bigger. But then we were back to sharing a kitchen again.
Okay.
So we had more space.
Right.
It was still in a nice neighborhood. Not as nice as the first two, though.
But right.
I felt safe. You felt safe. You never obviously knew nothing.
Right.
And so it was all good. And then we finally got into Shepherd's Village, which is an apartment complex for single moms.
Shouts out to Shepherd's Village.
And we danced. Like, I can't even believe you didn't know. Like, the one thing we didn't have was shelter. Like, the house was always the problem. We never had the right house to live in.
Yeah.
Until we got into Shepherd's Village. And then we stayed in Shepherd's Village for 2 years.
Yeah.
And that was so fun. That's where you had your whole basketball party, which is what we really had.
Which was so fun.
That's where the basketball hoop is, but that was not in a nice neighborhood.
Right. I do. I kind of remember that.
And that's where the basketball hoop was.
Okay.
So it was not a nice neighborhood. I mean, I remember once in the middle of the night, staying at Shepherd's Village, the Lord just woke me up and said, pray for safety over Shepherd's Village.
Hmm.
And like, I'm a new Christian. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
I just know, like, when someone is saying something and I don't believe it, I'm just like, you don't seem quite right. I don't think that's from God.
Yeah.
So when I woke up and there were, you know, I felt the Lord telling me to pray for safety over Shepherd's Village, you know, I just did it. And then who knows what I was praying for,
yeah,
or however many other moms he woke up to pray
right
over it. But it was a good, good experience for me to be at Shepherd's Village. I love those moms that were there with me, and we were all in the same boat, and it was just fun.
Yeah, that's definitely the first place I remember, like, this is home. Like, home was always with you, but that was the first place that, like, I can still see that little kitchen that went to our little dining area and our little living area and then our room back there. Like, that was the first, like, home place I can
recall. And so I was always a waitress. Like, that's all I knew was restaurant work. And I took you out to eat one morning, and, I mean, at what I thought at the time, an 80-year-old woman waited on us. And I looked up and I said, behold your future if you don't do something. And so I went and got a job at Auto Trader, which is very weird. When you're a waitress and that's all you know, all you know is cash in your pocket every day.
Right.
And so I would go into this job and you had to wait for a check. It was very stressful.
Yeah.
So I started doing like weekend, they call it weekend warriors, and you work for a catering company.
Okay.
And then they just bring you in on the weekends to cover the weddings and things like that.
That was banquet masters?
Yeah. And you could say no, or you could say, you know, yeah, I'll work that weekend, or no, I won't work that weekend. And you were getting older at that time. But it was a difficult time. Like, we always had enough money. We never were without. And like, when you look now at these kids, like these young kids, they eat out all the time. They know what these really fancy dishes are because they're eating out in restaurants. They've been on cruises. They've been in airplanes.
Who are these young kids you're talking about?
Like, all of these kids that you hear about.
Like our kids?
Well, yeah. I mean...
My grandkids,
they've all flown somewhere. They've all been to like the Grand
Canyon. Crosby's been more places.
They've all been to Disney World. I mean, one year for Christmas for you, that I worked at Auto Trader, and this guy had, back in the day, you didn't buy annual passes.
Mm-hmm.
You could buy a pass and you had to use it by a certain amount of time.
Okay.
And so he had two passes to Busch Gardens,
mm-hmm,
and it was like 2 days before Christmas, and they had to be used by the end of the year. And he gave them to me. And I put them under the tree for you for Santa. Can we talk about Santa?
To me?
On this podcast.
I know.
Yeah.
The deal. Like, it's not. somebody told me. So.
I did. I had to tell you because you swore
I got into a fight.
One.
I do remember that.
Because I put these Busch Garden tickets under there for you, and someone else gave me something else. I mean, you had great. God just so took care of us.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember living in Shepherd's Village when my car broke down, and I just, like, I was in a panic. I didn't know what I was going to do. And all I knew was to work to make money to pay.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And without a car, I didn't know how I could work.
Right.
And so I was so nervous, and you had this panic on your face. And I just looked down at your little face, and I just said, you know what? God's going to take care of us.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be fine. And then I had to stop worrying about it because I was worrying you.
Yeah, yeah.
And we went to church on Sunday, and nobody knew this. This all happened on a Friday. We went to church on Sunday, and someone gave me a check for $1,000 that had no name attached to it. I still to this day don't know who it was.
Wow.
And I went out all day Saturday looking for cars, and they said, well, what kind of down payment can you put on it? I had no money. I said, $1,000. And then someone gave me $1,000 and we got a new car.
Wow.
Not a brand new car, but we liked it.
We liked it.
Yeah.
It worked. That's crazy. hearing all that, and then the different take on it as like having my own kids now, and I just can't that process. Like I can't imagine what that must have been like, and like the strength to do that, to say like we're just gonna go.
But it's kind of like you. I don't know if you remember the one house we lived in that didn't have air conditioning, and we used to go to Toys R Us and ride the bikes.
I don't remember. Because
it was air conditioned. Yeah. We just put the bikes back when we were done.
Sure. They're an intestine.
You were little.
Yeah. Riding a bike around Toys R Us. What's wrong with that?
There was nothing wrong with that. They never asked us to leave.
You're doing something right. I guess I just like in the process of writing this book specifically is some of the first time that I've really talked about our story. I attempted to share my testimony at the church I was serving at a couple years ago. I kind of cried my way through it, and I just hadn't talked about it a lot, like the experience. And so and even just processing that, having my own kids, working through all this, and then writing this, right? Like trying to get your mind around this stuff and put it into words. It's amazing to me how much of my life comes down to that moment that you say, like, we're going this other way. Like, you're taking care of yourself. You're getting healthy. Mm-hmm. You're going to AA. Your faith is growing. And you make this, like, incredibly brave choice of, like, this, you know, other than that church that we got connected to, I don't know at that time that you had a lot of other people that other than my dad, and you decide we're going out because whatever's out there is better, and God's got us out there. And just, you just really come to this appreciation of this moment in your story that I'm a tiny kid in it, a 4-year-old or whatever I am. And so I appreciate you sharing all that. And I was just talking to somebody the other day about there's so much about the Bible and about my faith that I feel like comes back to you. And like when you talk about like Jesus, like your understanding of somebody who would give up everything for you, even though you don't deserve it. I'm like, yeah, I know that. Like I know that idea because that's my mom. Like my mom does that for me. Like my mom gives up everything for me. My mom puts me before everything. And so concepts like that are so easy because I have this like superstar mom. So like, I don't know, just the whole process of writing this book.
That's very sweet, Anthony.
Well, you're great.
Honestly, like I look back and Jesus just had his hand on us the whole time. He just walked us right through it.
Hmm.
I wouldn't change it for the world. Like, honestly, it was so good.
Yeah. It is interesting, and anybody who's come through a situation like that, you come out of it with this mix of like I think I've talked with you, not on a podcast, about like there's so much I feel like that you learn through things like that. And then you come to like my kids, and I'm like, well, I don't want you to go through that, but I want you to learn that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like there's a resiliency that comes from it. There's a like this unrelenting hope that you have with you at all time, like that is tested through things. And then I see them and I'm like, but I also want your life to be like as comfortable as it can be at all times. So, I hear you when you say that. I don't know what to like really make of that either, but,
just learning the Bible as an adult, it was just, and coming from a tougher background than a Christian home, like you really do understand you don't deserve it because there's nothing good about it, about you. You know what I mean? But it's so good. God's so good.
Well, agree to disagree there because I think there's a lot of good things about you.
Yeah. Well, now I'm much better. I'm much better now.
You are a tennis city champion.
I'm a finalist.
That's not how I heard it. That's not how I heard it. Well, Mom, thanks for coming on the podcast. You did it.
All right.
Are you going to listen to this episode?
No. I mean, we'll talk off the mic.
Get me out of here, she's saying. Get me out of here. Well, thank you so much for coming on. I love you.
I love you.
You're
too.
My hero.
Thank you.
Listeners, thank you so much for coming along the journey. of the podcast. Thank you to everybody who reaches out, lets me know you're listening, leaves a review or a rating. That's super helpful. And bet you didn't think I was going to say this. Pre-order the book. Pre-order the book, Curiosities and Uncommon Sense from the Bible. It's a devotional. It's fun. You can read it. You can give it to somebody else. You can buy, you know, 7 or 8 and just to have, because what if you lose one? Think about that.
Oh, great gift.
It's a great gift, right?
It's a great Christmas gift.
It's a great Christmas gift. So pre-order the book if you haven't already. And thank you so much to everybody who has. Everybody following along, you guys are just the best. And you're very encouraging to me. And I appreciate you. And we'll be back again with another episode here very soon. Football.